Hey guys, today we're talking about proper expectations and how something as little as changing and shifting your expectations of the market can have a major impact on your trading results. Now, before we hop into the episode, do me a favor. Many of you watch and listen on a regular basis, but you have not left me a rating or a review. Take a minute out of your time right now, or perhaps when you're done the podcast, to leave me a rating, leave a review. It's the best way you can support the podcast and help me continue to move up the charts until we reach the number one trading podcast out there. If you don't mind, just learning by asking questions, right? So the New Zealand dollar weekly bat pattern, that's what we spoke about to end the room yesterday, right? We spoke about I think Toby brought it up, a potential weekly bullish bat pattern on the Kiwi, New Zealand dollar. And then we dug down into the lower time frames looking for, we had a structure zone right above that level and looking for confluence. So just learning by asking, Akhil, New Zealand dollar weekly bat pattern that we are expecting to go further down to 58.40-ish before it rockets up. Again, we don't know that it's going to rocket up, so we don't want to expect it to rocket up. So we want to, I'm going to pick out key points in this thing that are a little bit of red flags, right? So we are expecting it to go further down before it rockets up. One, we never know that it's going to rocket up. So we can just say we expect it to go further down. Then we go on to say, I went into the 15-minute chart to have a close look at the consolidation that we witnessed all day long. In particular, these three pin bar candles. They also look like a nice bullish, despite its read of the bar being technically bearish. So again, not looking at the color of the bar, but looking at reading the formation, the wicks, the bodies, strong bullish, weak bearish, kind of stuff like that. They also look like a nice, So I asked myself, hypothetically, if I were to scalp, I love the hypothetically because the trader's like, hey, I'm not trading right now. Just kind of practicing this stuff. That's great. Just kind of practicing this stuff, not putting any money in, just thinking about stuff, which is good. Hypothetically, if I were to scalp something here on the hourly, and again, I don't want to use the word scalp because scalp is, I typically look at scalp as being like someone that's trying to get like under 10 pips from the market. So if I were to trade on the hourly, because the hourly is definitely not a scalping time frame, but that's semantics, right? If I were to scalp something here on the hourly, I see this lovely valet double bottom followed by a strong pin bar, which is the subject of my studies at the time. Yet it appears to be not that strong at all, despite a nice looking wick. And my question is why? And so what's happening here is the trader is watching this live and he is seeing a candlestick formation and a classic candlestick pattern, as well as a candlestick formation that looks good, right? A double bottom is typically a sign of what? Is that it's a positive sign for a hold and a potential reversal. Would you guys agree? Right, double bottom, yep. A pin bar, right? A pin bar, so imagine this again, this is at a previous level of structure support, a pin bar that has a long leg, long tail that breaches structure support and closes in the upper third. That is another sign of a test and rejection, right? These are two strong signs, right? So I see this lovely valid double bottom followed by a strong pin bar, which is the subject of my studies at the time. Yet it appears that it's not too strong at all, despite the long wick. And my question is why? Is it the magnitude of the bigger bat pattern that drives price down, even despite the strong pin bar? I understand that there is a context of the structure, yet still, as a candle case study, it caught my attention. And this brought up a few different layers of points. And one is that we shouldn't expect the weekly to have any influence on the 15-minute. So yes, in the back of our head, if we're looking at the weekly pattern, we can understand that there's a bat pattern there. It's a potential opportunity for anyone that trades that time frame. But should that bat pattern influence our thinking at all on a 15-minute chart? And the answer is going to be no, right? Those time frames are just too far away. I say the same thing with day traders who are operating on the five that are worried about stuff that's happening on the daily chart, right? You're looking at two completely different stories. The daily chart has zero effect on the 5-minute chart, right? The range between those two time frames is too far away. And that's why when we pick multiple time frames to do our analysis, whether it's a 2-time frame or 3-time frame, multiple time frame analysis setup, we typically want to pick neighboring time frames. So what I mean is this, right? And there are all different time frames in between. We talked about like the 30-minute yesterday, but in general, the most popular time frames are going to be, if we're going from top to bottom, weekly, daily, 4-hour, 1-hour, 15, 5, right? There are 10s and 30s and all that stuff in between. You can use whatever you want. But the point is you want to go to the next one down. So if my 4-hour is my higher time frame, I don't want to go necessarily from my 4-hour to my 5-minute, right? I want to go to the next level down. If my hourly is my higher time frame, right? I don't want to go from hourly to a 1-minute, right? It's too big of a jump. You're getting two different stories. So although we can have the higher time frame stuff in the back of our mind, we have to separate that from the influence in the market, right? It goes back to kind of reading a trend as well, where we could be in a daily trend or a bullish trend on the daily. We could be in a bearish trend on the 15. Do we want to pass up on a 15-minute, a valid 15-minute chart pattern because we're afraid of something else that we analyze on the daily? The answer is no. The bigger one is this though, right? And I spoke to this trader and he ended up looking at it and saying, you know, what I was looking at did hold. I just didn't give it enough time. And the bigger point I want to bring up is the expectation. Write this down if you haven't already or ingrain this in your mind, right? Understand that the market will do whatever it wants whenever it wants to. You guys understand that? So we need to eliminate the expectation that, again, the bat pattern is going to rock it up. That just because I see a double bottom or double top, it's going to work. Just because we have a pin bar, it has to reverse and it has to reverse right away, right? There is no instant gratification in trading. Just because something is there, one, doesn't mean it has to go in our favor right away. Two, doesn't mean that it has to go in our favor at all. If that were the case, right, traders would have a much greater win percentage. Do you know what many of the greatest traders of all time, do you know what their win percentages are? Who can guess? Is it 90%? 80%? Yeah, it's closer to what Paul just wrote in. It's closer to like 40%, to be honest with you. So if the greatest traders of all time are hitting at 40%, their predictions are right 4 out of every 10 times. Then shouldn't that tell us that it is wrong for us to have an expectation that something is going to work? Right? Should we have an expectation that something is going to work if our numbers and history tells us that it's probably only out of every 10 trades on the upper end, it'll probably work 6 out of every 10 times. On the lower end, maybe 4 or 3 out of every 10 times. So we have to eliminate that expectation that just because I see something, it has to work. Because here's why it's important. Trading is all about trading psychology, right? You need a strategy. Your strategy has to have an edge. And one, this will make much more sense once you backtest. Because once you backtest, you have numbers and you have a proper expectation, right? When you backtest and you realize your strategy isn't 90% correct, it's a reality check. It's like, okay, I get it. So backtesting helps, and until you get to that process, you don't really fully understand kind of what your edge is. But we need a few things as a trader, right? Just to simplify it, we need an edge, and we need the ability to consistently extract that edge. So an edge is a strategy that makes profit. The ability to extract that edge is trading psychology. That is you, the person in the mirror, the little voices in your head that you speak to. The problem with having these expectations is because psychology is so hard. It is. We talked about yesterday my biggest losing streak and how like I wouldn't have got through it if I didn't have a trading buddy of mine that was losing just as much as me. And we had to joke about it in the live room each day, then cry in our pillows at night, right, to get through it. But if we go in with the expectation that this must win, this must win, this must win, and then we get hit with a loss, how is that going to make you feel, right? Sit back, put your feet up on the couch, lay back. I got my notepad out. How does that make you feel? Seriously, type it in. Don't be shy now. If you expect to win, how does it make you feel? You are Liverpool and Arsenal going into the weekend in first place and second place, respectively, and boom, you lose. Losing to Crystal Palace. Aston Villa is not too bad. Losing to Crystal Palace. How does that make you feel? You feel defeated. You feel sad. You feel depressed. Do you think you start to lose confidence? Probably. And we know this is all a confidence game, right? You guys saw the video I put out yesterday. You got to have confidence, right? You feel like, Paul, come on. You feel like Everton? No, Paul. Paul, that's a bad example because true Everton fans never expect points out of every match, any match. We know that. I know my win percentage going in. But you lose confidence. And Greg's a perfect example right now. Greg, you lose confidence and it hurts. Now, when you lose confidence, then you start making mistakes. You start missing trades. You start, you know, not wanting to trade your system. It leads to a downward spiral of a whole bunch of other things. Now, if you compare that to going into a trade where you might win, you might lose, maybe you're 50-50 on it. How does a loss make you feel in that circumstance? Well, it doesn't feel good, but does it hurt as much as if you mentally already prepared and expected a win? This is where the Everton fans come in, where it's like, we lost, but you know, you know. It doesn't hurt as much, so it saves you a little bit of confidence. So you have to have those proper expectations, or you're just going to put yourself in a position where you're always defeated. And I understand that, you know, we're learning all this new stuff. It's cool, and it sounds awesome, but this nothing works all the time. Nothing works, I'd say, most of the time. Everything works some of the time, right? And we have to have those expectations as traders, or else psychologically we are going to defeat ourselves, and then we're going to end up missing or skipping the opportunities that do end up making us profit. Hope you enjoyed the episode. Hey, do me a favor. Let me know what your initial expectations were when you first started trading. If you're listening on Spotify, there's a little Q&A thing or open-ended answered question thing that you can write it in. But I want to know, what did you expect from the market? Did you expect it to be hard? Did you expect it to be easy? Did you expect to make a lot of money really quick? I think it's cool to see how different traders view the markets and what could be had from there. And I'd love to hear your opinion.